Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We're speaking to you now from the Palm Beach-like atmosphere before the Klieg lights here in the television studio on the fourth floor of Marsha Field and Company's great store in the city of Chicago, where RCA Victor Mechanism is being presented to the public eye this week to show the American radio public just what has been perfected in the way of television. And they are witnessing here this afternoon the performance of the iconoscope, which is the camera-like device which picks up the television image, and also of the kinetoscope, which is the very sensitive tube which reproduces the image in the television receiver. There are two studios here on the fourth floor of Marshall Field. One is the television studio for the picking up of the image, and in it is this large iconoscope, a camera-like device on a tripod, quite similar in appearance, outward appearance, that is, to a motion picture camera. Above it and below it are banked four great banks of brilliant lights, which flood the subject to be scanned by the iconoscope, said subject at the present time being yours very truly, Bob Brown. And then the image is transmitted by a coaxial cable to the studio next door, around the walls of which have been ranged some dozen television receivers. And by means of the sensitive kinetoscope, the vision being projected onto the iconoscope tube is carried to the kinetoscope and reproduced upon the mirror there, and some 500 or 600 people have gathered in the darkness of this room to watch the miracle of the dancing image carried over wires to that mirror. But our purpose here this afternoon is not so much to tell you about television, either from its technical side or from its appearance side, but rather to tell you about the public reaction to television here at Marshall Fields. We have had between 7 and 10,000 people a day pouring through the guide ropes and the bars here at Marshall Fields, keeping them in line so that everybody has a fair chance to see the television exhibit, both the studio end and the reproducing end. Between 7 and 10,000 people a day have come in here. And we'd like to ask a few of those 7 or 10,000 people just how they feel about television, its possible future, what the reaction to it today has been, and various other matters pertaining to this modern miracle. But the first person we'd like to meet this afternoon is a man who's been with Marshall Field for a number of years. He's seen thousands of people. Now, I won't even stop at thousands. I'll go into millions of people. Millions of people come and go to the portals of this great store. His name is Mr. Atkinson, but we all call him Sandy. He's been working with us here ever since the television exhibit started, and he's been with Marshall Field so many years that, well, I'll ask him just how many years when he comes to the microphone. So, Sandy, if you come up here, I think you, perhaps more than any other one person here, are better versed to tell us just how you feel about this new exhibit and the people who've seen it than anyone else I know. Will you come up under these bright lights? You've had other people up here now. Now it's your turn to face that glare. Sandy, tell us, how have the people behaved? How have they felt about television when they've come in here?
We've never had a more orderly or interested group of people to handle than have come in here in the past 2 weeks. This is the second week that we've had this television exhibit. Even the children that come in here, it astonished me that the knowledge that they had of television and the interest that they took. We're certainly living in an advanced mechanical age.
I agree with you.
You asked me how many years I've been here. My hair is now, I've got a little snow.
It's beautiful silver, if I may say so.
Well, when I was a redhead when I started to work here.
I see.
That's why they call me Sandy.
Sandy. Yeah. Now they could call you Hi-Yo Silver and nobody'd be any the wiser.
Nobody,
is that the idea?
Well,
I see.
Of course, the 2 years that I spent in the Cannibal Islands as a missionary had something to do with changing the color.
Yes, I was on the trail of the Indians for years and nearly lost my hair out there too, Sandy. But now it's just natural causes that causes it, the high forehead. But may I ask you, you've seen a number of noted personages come and go here. Could you tell us some that you've met in your travels to Marshall Field?
This is the Mecca for visitors from all over the world. They've come in here from Labrador, from Baffin's Bay, and way down in Calcutta, India. We've even had people here from the Solomon Islands and from the southmost Australian islands, from the Cannibal, really, from the
really
Cannibal
Islands.
Yeah. We've had Queen Marie of Romania. Crown Princess Louise has been in here twice. Admiral Byrd has been here twice. And we've had them all. Every celebrity, every distinguished person that's visited Marshall Field in the past 20 years, we have a record of them in our guest book.
Yes, I think you gave me the privilege, along with the other announcers, of signing at the other day.
We feel very much honored, Bob, to have you on there. And all of these people in the past many years have used this pen, this famous
that
pen.
One particular fountain pen designed
in
Bogart.
Sherman Hank. And that pen has been plated. That pen has been from Sloppy Joe's to Vanna up in the Arctic Circle.
Is that so?
Yeah,
well,
it's covered a lot of territory.
It certainly has, and it's written a lot of names, too.
Yes, and if that pen could talk...
It would have a biography of famous people that would be second to the Seven Pillars of Wisdom by the great Lawrence, I think. All right, thank you, Mr. Atkinson, or better known as Sandy, for that just that brief commentary on television, the people who've seen it here at Marshall Fields, and also the interesting people whom you've met during your years as official greeter of this great department store. And I'm willing to wager that Mr. Atkinson would agree that the people who've seen television here, not of the nobility, but just of the great American public, have been as well-behaved and as charming as the great rulers of Europe and other places that have come here to see this store. And by the way, the other day, a very interesting note on television. A little man in a brown suit stood outside this window here for, oh, say, 10 or 15 minutes. And finally, he trotted off down the aisle with a hurried step and... Sandy pulled my arm as I saw this little man go off down the aisle with this hurried step, and he said, "You know who that is?" And I said, "No, I don't know who that is." He said, "Well, that's Charlie Chaplin." And sure enough, I looked after him, and by golly, it was Charlie. Just as quiet as a mouse. He never said boo to anybody. He just came into Marshall Fields, took his glimpse of television, put on his hat, and walked right out again. But the quick eagle eye of our good friend, the official greeter, Mr. Atkinson, didn't allow Charlie to escape without at least some notice from the standpoint of people who would appreciate seeing Charlie as he is in real life. So thank you, Sandy, for that very interesting bit. And now let's go backstage here for a moment, back of the television receiver. And in the meantime, Durwood Kirby, our good friend from NBC, will entertain the crowd down in front while we go behind the stage. In the first place, one of the men we want you to meet here, who is particularly concerned with television, is a chap by the name of Walter Lawrence, one of the staff of technicians who has come out here from Camden, New Jersey, to supervise the maintenance of this great television unit that's producing such enthusiastic response here in Marshall Field. Wally, just how does this compare with the other places that you've shown television? How have the crowds received it, and just what is your general reaction?
Bob, I'll say that Chicago certainly lived up to the reputation of the Midwest for unmitigated enthusiasm in the reception of new ideas.
That is one of the nicest little speeches I've heard in a long while.
I'm so glad you like it.
Did I like
that crack of yours about me being concerned with television. You referred to the creases in my brow, no doubt, when the
Indeed.
Apparatus goes bad.
That's right, and also long and lengthy talk, the treatise on television, which you give at the drop of a hat.
Some call it a dissertation.
A dissertation, sir. Several times during the day explaining the mysteries of the iconoscope and the kinetoscope.
That's it. One word from me and they know even less than before.
Oh, no, not at all. Well, you do a grand job. Tell me, all the people been here, do they feel, do many of them get the erroneous impression that television is here today? Or am I putting you on the spot?
I wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know?
No, I wouldn't know whether it was erroneous, nor would I know whether they get the impression that it's here today. However, I do my best to foster the impression that television is, shall I say, almost here?
Almost.
Yes. Yeah, we let it go at that.
That would be a good modifier.
The thing that I'm most interested in here, though, is the fact that we slice all these people up into 441 lines, and in the past week we haven't spilt a drop of blood. We've got every one of them together right just the same way we took them apart, and I think that's some sort of an achievement.
That's a mechanical miracle.
I really do.
Now, may I qualify that in layman's language by saying that a bombardment of, I believe, electrons emanating from a tube causes the image to be sliced into 441 lines and re-sewn together on the other side by the kinetoscope in such a manner that you aren't aware of the vivisection as it's performed, thanks to the mystery of the magic of electricity and its speed.
That was superbly, not to say succinctly, expressed, Mr. Brown.
We are talking with an eminent lexicographer here in the person of Mr. Walter Lawrence of the Don't Give Up the Ship Lawrences, who is one of the fine technicians and a finer bunch of men we haven't had the pleasure of meeting in a long, long while. And now, seated at a piano here is another angle of our television show over here, and a distinctly delightful angle. It's neither obtuse nor... what is the other angle? Our acute. It's an angle that we could bisect by saying that it possesses both beauty and brains, and in the person of Miss Nana Van Houten of Louisville, Kentucky, one of our charming models up here, who displays the millinery, the fashion jewelry, the charming frocks, the elegant boutries, everything that milady will wear for the fashionable fall season. Miss Van Houten does that to the queen's taste. Just what is your reaction to the panchromatic makeup and the glaring lights of television? And don't be worried about it, please, Nana. Just take it easy. How do you like it?
Well, I think it's grand, Mr. Bond.
It's been fun, hasn't it?
Very much.
Won't you sort of be sorry when we finally fold up our tents and steal away one of these fine days from
Marshall Field? Oh, yes, terribly.
Do you think you'd like to carry on with a profession of television?
Very much, I would, yes.
I mean, after all, you've done almost 2 weeks of it now. You're a veteran.
Oh, of course.
Not a wrinkle in your face, but you're a veteran. And by the way, it's a very beautiful face, topped with blonde hair. And Miss Van Houten comes from Louisville, Kentucky. The state should be very proud of her. Would you like to be an actress by any chance?
No.
Have you any Hollywood aspirations?
No, I haven't.
Well, what would you like to be? You don't mind my asking you that, because after all, television should give you ideas, but if it's not your profession, what is your profession?
Well, I would like to just lead a very calm and collected life. I mean, you know, I want to move and live in the country because I'd rather be a big frog in a little pond
than a small frog in Chicago. I see. Miss Van Houten has the most charming way of gesticulating with her arms that is entirely missed by sightless radio, but I hope that someday the television coming around that proverbial corner will bring you this young lady in all her charm. Thank you, No-No. Or pardon me, Nana. I've called her No-No for 3 days here, and it sort of sticks when I get with it. Well, thank you very much.
Thank
and
you.
Maybe someday you will be in television. You never can tell. There are strange ways of earning a living. I hope you concur with that idea. Now, behind here is a very charming gentleman who gazes continually at a flashing image in a mirror here. His job in television is quite similar to the control engineer in broadcast radio, who sits with his eyes glued intently upon what is known as a volume indicator, a VI to the profession, which consists of a little needle which oscillates vividly back and forth or violently, and which is kept under correct oscillation performance by the engineer with this little knob. Well, this gentleman corresponds to that feat in broadcast in his particular duties in television. However, he doesn't watch a needle, but he watches a vision. The vision right now is that of Durward Kirby upon this screen here, this reflected screen, which is cast into a mirror at an angle such that the engineer can watch it. Now, will you stand up here? In the first place, I can't remember your name. I'm awfully sorry.
Alba.
Alba. And is Joe, is it?
Charles.
Charlie Alba, the temporary fashion model this morning on our performance. That's right, Charlie.
Only in a as an emergency measure.
And an amateur capacity. Charlie, what are all these knobs? Or would it take too much time to explain them all here? But briefly, just what is your duty as the control engineer of television?
Well, most of these knobs are for controlling the iconoscope in the camera and also the kinescope, which is the tube that we use for viewing the picture that is going out over the wire.
I see.
We also have a bunch of controls on the top here that shade the picture. That is, it makes it light or dark on the side or the bottom or in the center.
Oh, I see. And also you have those that increase the brightness or decrease the brightness. Is that the idea
That's
of the
right.
image?
In other words, we take care of the image here before it goes out over the cable to the receiver.
And now, theoretically, there are 441 lines moving across that screen there, but we can't see them, can we?
No, I mean, not so, unless you get too close to the
if you get
picture.
Very close, you can almost see the lines that break up the picture. But from a distance and through your kindly manipulation of those knobs, you can watch the lines and see that they don't become coarse.
That's right.
And also on the right-hand side here, you have the instrument which manipulates the focus of the camera itself, right?
Yes, we can adjust the focus of the camera right from the control instrument.
I see. Well, how does this strike you, this being in Chicago, this television tour?
Well, we're having a lot of fun out of it. And most of the places that we go to show us a swell time and...
Well, I hope that
treat us very nicely.
I hope that always will be the case, and I hope you won't forget that little act that you put on this morning and do it again for people who might hear this broadcast and wish to see what it is. Will you do that in the future, Charlie?
Yes. As soon as television comes into Chicago, why, I'll be back again.
You'll be a success. That's Charlie Alba, a television engineer here in charge of the master set here, which modulates the television image. I see we have about a minute here before we'll have to sign off. So let's look around here. Well, we are so short of time, it's best that we don't break into an interview because we'll have to break it off short. But we've just talked to you from the television studio here at Marshall Field. We'll let you hear Mr. Atkinson, who is the official greeter at Marshall Fields. We've let you talk to Mr. Walter Lawrence, Mr. Charlie Alba, and now it's time to say good afternoon. But we must tell you again that it is a miracle that's being presented here at Marshall Field, this thing called television. A miracle engineered by RCA Victor and presented to the farsightedness of Marshall Field and Company's great department store in Chicago. And you should avail yourself, if you do nothing else, of the opportunity of seeing this in its perfected form, both before the iconoscope in flesh and blood and later reflected upon the cold mirror after having traversed miles of wires. It is, indeed, the greatest achievement of the 20th century. And now we must bid you good afternoon with the hope that you will be down here every day between 10 and 4, and including Monday before the 4th of July. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
WMAQ, Chicago.